we are, I'm going to go, I have to give you a little warning, and I think we're missing a lot of moms today. I know, we sick babies and field trips and stuff like that. This is the nature of moms. This is our seventh week, and by now you're probably pretty, some of you are probably still really scared of me. Some of you might be wondering, what the heck? But I'm going to go ahead and warn you that this might be the last time I teach this session. So y'all better just get ready. Because we only have, next week we have a guest speaker. The week after that, we have two moms that you have must hear from. Transformation has happened in their home. You're going to hear from. And the last week, I've got a teaching, but I feel the Lord telling me that I'm not teaching it, that it's going to be, we're going to do something else. And I got y'all, Jesus is the boss, and so I got to listen to him. So this might be the last time I teach for this session. So my sweet friend, and it totally makes, I totally was like, that's it. My sweet friend, Rachel Brown, she said at a retreat, she said, have y'all ever seen that movie, Shark Boy and Lava Girl? Y'all seen that? It was just on Disney the other week. My kids, we were watching it. You know, Lava Girl, her hair's on fire. Like, that's what I feel like when I'm up here. Like, I just feel like I am just like this, bah! This, like, my hair's on fire, and some of you are freaked out by it because I am so, like, so today, my hair is extra on fire. I mean, I put it all back because I knew I was going to sweat. You're going to see sweat through this shirt. I'm like, this, I cannot wear anything light, so y'all just better get ready because this word is good, and I just have to tell y'all that if this is the last time I'm teaching, I'm like, Lord, just use me. This is my mouth. But some of you, by now, you understand how Moms with Swords goes. And there's probably some that have not come because they don't really like me. And y'all, that's okay. It's totally okay. It's totally okay. If you're not sure about who I am or what I do, it's totally okay. Listen, this ministry, this Moms with Swords, it's not anything to do with me. It's Jesus. And listen, I'm not preaching. And I don't even say I teach anymore. I preach. The Lord has not given me a popular message, y'all. I wish I could be the one that tells you, oh, it's so hard, y'all. It is so hard, and I just have to go away. I just have to have my husband take my kids. I just have to go away, and I just have to sit in my room. I have to eat ice cream. I just have to let somebody else deal with my kids. Y'all, that's the popular message. That is the popular message. My message is much like Jeremiah's was in his day. And Jeremiah's message was Jeremiah 2, 12 through 13. My people have committed two sins, two evil things. This is the message to moms that I feel God has given me, that I feel like moms, we are doing a disservice in our homes. And so my message is not very popular because I'm not telling you, you do deserve a break every now and then. Listen, I love it sometimes, some nights more than others. I love it when my kids go to bed, especially my sweet little John William, because I just can't take it anymore. I just can't take the mouth anymore. I told Todd the other night, I don't know how to parent him. I have no idea how to parent him. And Todd's like, because he's like you. I was like, oh, and he has all the bad parts of you. So listen, we do deserve a break every now and then. Listen, I go get my cereal. I love my Chick-fil-A, but y'all, my other thing I do every night is I have a bowl of cereal and I watch Reba. That's my new show. Love Reba. Barbara Jean. I am Barbara Jean. So that's that. So we got to do that, y'all. Y'all might want to go to the spa or something. We do need a break. But this message that I'm not going to tell you that you can't do that all the time. Because listen, your kids don't need you taking a break. Your kids need you. And Jeremiah's message, his people, Israel, the Jewish people had committed two sins. And that's what I believe God's told me, that moms, we are committing a sin in our home. Jeremiah said, the Lord told Jeremiah, they have abandoned me. Moms have abandoned Jesus. And they, you know what? Because they're relying on their self. I am woman, hear me roar, to parent their children. They have abandoned him. Listen to what it says. The spring of living water. Mamas, The spring of living water is the way you parent your children. It's the only source. Those bonbons, that spa, that bowl of cereal, that is not where I replenish to be able to prepare my heart to parent my children. The spring of living water, he says, and they have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. A cistern is an artificial reservoir. Mamas are dependent on everything else but Jesus to help them parent their children. So y'all, that's my message. And it's not popular. I am so sorry. It's not popular. I wish I could, because you know what? We might have a lot more people all the time. But I have been mandated by Jesus, and I answer to him. I love you, but I don't answer to you. I want you to come. But listen, I will never tell people to come to Moms with Swords. Because you know who decides who gets to come to Moms with Swords? It is Jesus. And if mamas are ready for Moms with Swords, then he's going to bring them. If they're not ready, it's okay. It's okay. But y'all, we are in a battle. And my message is that of a battle. We are in a battle. I looked up the definition of a battle a long time ago. A battle is an encounter between opposing forces. You, mom, we are, as believers in Jesus, are in a battle with opposing forces. Every day, our kids are in a battle with opposing forces. 1 Timothy 6:12. Scripture tells us, fight the good fight of faith. That fight in the Greek is struggle, conflict, a battle. You got to fight this battle. You got to take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. This is a battle. So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to try and motivate you to get off the sidelines, to stop abandoning your source of living water, to drink deep from Jesus, because let me tell you something, he is the only way I can put up with parenting a teenager, a preteen, and a really sweet, precious, mouthy, complaining little boy. He's the only way. If I tried to do it in and of myself, y'all, I would be spent all the time. I got to continually be drinking. So I am motivating you. I told you that on the first week. I want to motivate you. And believe me, I'm not ever telling you anything. I'm not ever preaching anything to you that God has not preached to me first. Man, I get the spiritual spanking before I deliver it. God's word, y'all. If it never steps on our toes, how are we going to grow? You are not to feel condemnation when you walk through these doors, ever. That is not of Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation. But let me tell you something. If you walk out of here and you're a little mad, praise God. Praise God. Because you know what? I get mad all the time when he tells me that I'm not doing something I should be doing. I get offended. We don't want to be told we need to do something a little different. We don't want to be told that, well, maybe if you started drinking from the living water instead of letting that satisfy you, maybe you wouldn't be so on the edge all the time. We don't want to hear that. God wants you to drink from him, and that's where I'm going to point you to every week. I love you. I love what God does in this ministry. I want God to, he has exploded this ministry. But mine is not a popular message. And so by now, you probably know that. And thank you for coming, and thank you for listening, and thank you for not, as James says, not just being a hearer of the word, but being a doer, because you are emailing me, you are Facebooking me. Transformation is happening in your homes. Praise God that you are doing what God is telling you to do. Transformation is happening. You are in a battle, but greater is he that is in you, mama, than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in your children that you are equipping, that Moms with Swords is helping to equip you, to equip them, than he that is in the world. Your children are going to be different because of what you are doing, because you are recognizing you're in a battle, because you are not sitting back, and because you are allowing the Holy Spirit to sharpen you. So with that said, I'm going to jump into this message. By now you know the theme, Colossians 2, 6 through 7. You know this theme. We've said it over and over. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, I'll never read that again because I had to teach in Texas this weekend and I used this word, this verse, and I just, that your Lord, just those Greek words that say personal taking, I'll never be able to read that scripture the same. It's a personal taking. Just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Y'all, this is the word. This is what mamas are not doing. This is why moms with sores exist. We got to continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him. And let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. And you will overflow with thankfulness. Engrafted in, rooted deep over these last weeks. Man, we're almost done, y'all. We're almost done. Over these last weeks, we have dug in, we have dissected this word. And God has revealed, now is the time. Man, y'all, I told y'all that way back in the summer, God, I was on a prayer walk, and there is such an urgency in my spirit about now. And again, when you turn on the news, do you think there's a reason that we need to be urgent? Do you think there's a reason that we need to be rooting ourselves in Jesus? Do you see that there's a need for it? I told my sister, and in front of my kids, I probably shouldn't have said this in front of my kids, y'all. I hate it when my flesh gets in the way, but I did, and my middle child is real analytical like her daddy, so I shouldn't have said it in front of her, but I did. I said, Julie, I, for the first time ever, am scared for my kids. I'm scared. Y'all, our middle school, right down the road, has told the teachers, you cannot say the name of Jesus after 7:40. At 7:40, you must, because we have FCA until 8 o'clock. At 7:40, every teacher has to silence themselves and let the students do it. Y'all, that's right down the street. Like, it's creeping in. I mean, chills all over my body. Do you think we need to be urgent? Do you think I need to be telling you go home and have bonbons and just relax and let the youth group raise up your children? Do you think I need to be telling you that? No. The time is now. Y'all, I'm scared for my kids. And God has not given me a spirit of fear. And I know that. But just in my flesh, I'm like, Lord, you're going to have to help me because I'm scared. I am. I'm confessing it, God. I'm scared. I'm scared for them. Scared. You think I come up here and I'm all battle mode, and I am. I'm ready to take on the devil at all times, but I'm telling you this morning, I'm scared for my kids. I'm scared. So the time, it's now. I am more than ever wanting to root Jesus, to ingrain Jesus into my kids. And today, we're going to see, man, the good news. We're going to see some good news of what happens after we have done what God's told us to do. After we decide, as I talked about a couple weeks, that we're not going to be landscapers of our kids. We're not just going to make them look good on the outside. We are going to be the architect. We are going to dissect the plan that each one of them is made out of. God's created each one of us with this intricate Psalm 139 plan. We're going to dissect it, and we are going to get to the heart. We're going to get to the roots of their heart. I was texting with a mom last night and this week, and she's like, Joy, I got to get to the root of this. I got to get to the root of this. And I'm like, do not grow weary, sister. Do not grow weary. You get to that root. The time is now. And if we do what God has called us to do, if we are that architect, today we're going to see there is fruit. There is much reward. And listen, I want to speak just for a second to you young mamas. Sometimes y'all might not think I'm speaking to you, and I listen, I want to exhort you because you more than even me with these older kids. Start now. If you have been told that, well, what Joy's saying, that really is when they're 8 or 9. No. You got that baby nursing on your breast. Go, you saturate the word over that baby. You pour that word over that baby. That toddler, when you're dressing that little toddler, when you're changing that diaper, you just pray, God, would you clothe this child? Would you clothe this son? Would you clothe this daughter with the fruits of your spirit? Would you armor up this baby, God? You mamas of young babies, do it now. Listen, it's so much easier. Not that God cannot redeem. And listen, you just got to start, right? I don't care if your kids, you got grandkids. And I've got grandmothers in here that said, I never did this with my kids, but I'm doing it with my grandkids. Praise God. But listen, it's much easier if you start now. Listen, I've said it before. If you give a baby apricots before you give them spinach, what are they going to want? Apricots. Guys, if you give those little ones, you young mamas, if you give those little babies, you just feed them Jesus all the time. When they're older, man, they're going to be like, when the world tries to feed them something, they're going to be like, hey, that's not what my mama fed me. And what my mama fed me tasted so much better than this. So you young mamas, steady your hands. Do it now. Think of my sweet friend Rebecca Harrison over there, and she tells me all the time, she's got a one-year-old tomorrow. She says, Joy, I just pray the word over her. 1 year old, y'all. Some moms be like, that's not doing anything. It's doing something, y'all. Feed them the word. Ingrain it. Remember we talked about that word, that's my favorite new word, that it becomes part of their essence again. So when the world tries to feed those babies something, they're going to go, uh-uh, I have tasted and I have seen, and it is better than that. It is never, you're never too late to start. Listen, I'm not saying if you've got a 15-year-old and you've never fed him the word that God cannot redeem, he will, but I'm just exhorting for right now, I'm just exhorting you young mamas, start now. Start now. Look at Luke 6. Reiterates the point. We talked about this a couple weeks. And this, y'all, I have to read this like the Lord tells me. Like, because I told you, he tells me this teaching goes to me before it goes to y'all. And when Jesus is telling me all this, he got his finger in my face with this one. Kind of like I got my finger in the face of that college student a couple weeks ago. I told y'all about, oh gosh. Oh Lord, I can't believe I told y'all that. This is the words of Jesus. Why are you so polite with me? Always saying yes, sir, and that's right, sir, but you are never doing a thing I tell you. These words I speak to you are not mere additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundation words, words to build a life on. If you, Mom, if you, Joy, will work these words into your life. You are like a smart carpenter who dug and laid the foundation of his house on bedrock. When, doesn't say if it does, because it's going to, when the river burst its banks and crashed against the house, nothing could shake it. It was built to last. But listen, Mom, if you just use my words in Bible studies, you landscape, and you don't work them into your life, you are like a dumb carpenter, Joy. Yeah, Jesus can call us dumb. You're like a dumb carpenter who built a house but skipped the foundation. When the swollen river came crashing in, it collapsed like a house of cards. It was a total loss. And then 2 Timothy 2, another way to reiterate this point. So my daughter, Mom, throw yourself into this work for Christ. Listen, pass on what you heard from me. The whole congregation saying amen to reliable leaders who are competent to teach others. When the going gets rough, take it on the chin with the rest of us the way Jesus did. Wow. Listen, a soldier on duty doesn't get caught up in making deals at the marketplace. He concentrates on carrying out orders. You're in a battle, mama. And your battle master has given you the plans. An athlete who refuses to play by the rules will never get anywhere. It's the diligent farmer who gets the produce. Think it over. God will make it all plain. Y'all, God has given us what we need to do, but we gotta do it. Listen, my daughter is already, she already has her college mapped out for softball. But listen, she's meeting, she's got hitting tonight. She had training the other night. She's going to have pitching. She has to train. She's got to work. You got to work. You can't just sit back and say, okay, the Lord will do it or somebody else will do it. There's work required. Mom, there is work required. Again, it's not popular. I'm telling you, you got more work to do. I'm so sorry. You got to go home and scrub toilets. I know. These children that God has given you, they do require work. But we're going to see in just a minute the reward is timeless. Now let's dissect this particular part of Scripture. This truth you were taught. We're going to dissect this last part of this Scripture. Truth you were taught in the Greek. It is as you were instructed. It is a verb. And it nearly always refers to the teaching of the Scriptures, the written Word of God. Listen, you can teach a lot of things in your home, Mom. I hope you're teaching manners. Mamas of boys, since I have daughters, I hope you're teaching your son how to raise how to treat a girl. That's really big on our home. John William is trying to boss me all the time. And I'm like, excuse me. So we're having to teach him how to treat women. You can teach them how to, you know, put the fork here and the knife here. You can teach them how to dance. You can teach them how to, you know, put on makeup and hygiene. That's really good for boys. Stinky, I'm not ready for a stinky boy teenager. Those of you who are there, see me after and just prepare me. But you can teach a lot of things, but let me tell you, the most important thing you're teaching in your home is the written Word of God. The Scriptures. BibleHub.com, one of my favorite references, it says, I teach, preaches. Y'all, I had a different, this was not the teaching that I had. Last week, the Lord totally made me change it, and I didn't have time to change it, y'all. I'm like, I had to teach in Texas last week, I had to teach this week, got a couple more, got a women's conference. I'm like, Lord, really? But y'all, after he gave this to me, after he preached it to me, I preached it to myself yesterday, and I'm like, God, this is your word. Have you ever considered yourself a preacher? Have you ever considered yourself a preacher? To preach is to advocate or inculcate religious or moral truth, right conduct. To advocate or inculcate religious or moral truth, right conduct. Some of the synonyms are teach, exhort, talk, minister, prophesy, inform. Preacher at dictionary.com says a person whose occupation or function it is to preach the gospel. Mamas, you do these things every day in your home. Every day. Every day you are teaching, you are exhorting, you are talking, you are ministering. You are in many ways prophesying. You are informing your kids. And today, listen, if you say, Joy, I'm not doing that in my home, you got to start today. It's okay. You can start today. But listen, by what we just went over, guess what? You are a preacher. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, preacher. You don't have to be on a stage to be a preacher. You, mama, are a preacher. You, mama, what I'm praying Moms with Swords does is ignites you to go and tell the written Word of God in your homes. To preach the Word of God in your homes. Now look, you might not do it with your hair on fire like me, but you could preach. I get on my own nerves, so I get it if I get on yours. Some of you are quiet preachers, and that's good. My husband, he's quiet. Thank the Lord. Aren't y'all saying, thank the Lord for that? He's quiet, but man, he preaches to my kids every bit as much as I do, and it's so much sometimes more effective. You're a preacher. You are a preacher. God has given you a mandate to preach the good news in your house. It's your job title. Deuteronomy 6, remember, we talked about this in the very first session. This is God. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. Y'all, this was given to the Jewish people. This is a timeless biblical truth that was written to the Jewish people of the day. But y'all, it's for us today because God's word supersedes time. So it had a practical application to the day, but it has a present day application for us. Teach them. This is the scriptures, the written word of God. Teach them diligently. Look, a passive gardener gets a passive crop, but a diligent farmer gets an overabundance crop. Teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down, when you rise up. Proverbs 22:6, very familiar. All of us can quote this verse. Direct your children onto the right path, and when they're older, they will not leave it. Y'all, that word direct is train in its original Hebrew, and it means dedicate. Moms, dedicate your children in the ways of the Lord. Be dedicated to that. Now, we don't get paid to do all this preaching we're doing. We don't get paid like I told you before, but listen, this is our reward. Listen, the return of our work, the return of your work, the return of the work that I am trying to motivate you to do in your homes, that Jesus is wanting to ignite in you to do in your homes, it is unending, it is eternal, it is everlasting from generation to generation. The goal, listen, the reward of our work, you know what the payoff is, mama? Oh my gosh, when I preached this in my house yesterday, I literally started running. The payoff for our work, guys, listen, is our children joining with the angels, 10,000 among 10,000, singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, casting their crowns at his feet, walking on glassy seas. Y'all, that is the reward of our work. Let me be passionate about that. The reward of our work, y'all, is our children sitting at the feet of the Savior of the world. Listen, praise God, my husband has a paycheck. Thank you, Lord. Because, well, he will be mad at me if I say this. Andrea, will he be mad if I say this? Okay, see, she's my female Todd. But y'all, I don't work. And really, there's not a lot I could do. I preach. I tell Chick-fil-A people all the time, I'm like, I could be your greeter. But you'd fire me because I'd be talking about Jesus all the time. And so I don't think I could. So I'm so thankful for Todd's paycheck. Really thankful. But let me tell you something, y'all. His work, what it brings home, I'm not taking my furniture to heaven with me. I love my Honda Odyssey. Love it. He made me wait for 12 years. And he bought me a Mac Daddy one with a vacuum cleaner. I love it. But I'm not driving that up to the pearly gates. Listen, I love that we can pay for our daughter to go to an amazing Christian school. Praise you, Jesus. But listen, she ain't gonna get to heaven and Jesus is gonna say, now show me that diploma from that Christian school. Oh, yes. None of that matters, y'all. But my work, oh, your work. When your babies get to be in the feet of Jesus and he says, well done, you did what I told you to do. That's the reward, y'all. You are a preacher, and the payoff of doing your job is your children's faith being strong. Listen, Charles Spurgeon, one of my favorite quotes, the preaching of Christ is what you're doing in your home. Listen, the preaching of Christ is the whip that flogs the devil. The preaching of Christ is the thunderbolt, the sound which makes hell shake. You are a preacher in your home. Look at your neighbor again and say, I am a preacher. With a little bit more, you got to bow it up. Y'all going to go home, scare your husbands today. Some of your husbands going to say, put your sword away. Love it. But listen, I'm really good at being the preacher of my home. That's pretty easy for me, as you can tell. And my husband is so much better at this because, listen, if you are a preacher, you are also a pastor. This is something my husband is so good at. Look what a pastor is. If you are a preacher, which we just said we are preachers, because we're teaching the Word of God, we're speaking the written Word of God over our kids, but we're also a pastor. Look, a pastor is a spiritual overseer or a shepherd. Mom, for our children's faith, as this scripture, that their faith will grow strong in the truth that they were taught by us, for our children's faith to grow strong, we must not only first and foremost preach the Word of God to our kids, but we must pastor our kids. We must shepherd our kids. Who knew that these two words that we put in the same context have such similar but different definitions? And listen, based on what personality type you are, one of them is going to be easier for you to be. I'm the preacher of the home. Todd's the pastor. But I really have to be both, but it's a lot easier for me just to preach. I'm a much better preacher to my kids than I am a pastor. I'm fully exposed to you guys. I'm just telling you, it's a lot harder. But listen, I don't get a pass. You know, two nights ago I was in the shower and we had prayed over our oldest, prayed over her, and she got a little talking to about her grades and prayed over her, thought we were done. I'm in the shower getting ready for my cereal. Everybody's in bed, right? Here she comes. I can't do my grades. I'm in the shower. And just then she goes and sits in the bathtub right beside the shower. It's so hard. And we're a little hormonal, if you know what I mean. And we were tired, and I'm like, I've got to be a pastor right now because I just want to say, the Lord's going to help you, Sydney. You'll be fine. But I needed to be the pastor. I needed to shepherd. And that's just not real easy for me, especially when I'm standing in the shower. But I got to be. And listen, some of you, I want to be sensitive. Some of you grew up in a home with a preacher. Only a preacher. Somebody that used the Word of God as a rod. It was harsh. There was no shepherding. It was you do this or you go to hell. Anybody grow up in a home like that? Harsh. And I get it. There was no staff. You know, a shepherd uses a staff. We're going to see that in just a second. There was no staff in your home. It was just only a rod. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16. This is an all-encompassing verse. Listen, this really speaks to what I was talking about in the beginning. This is what God's word does, y'all. This is what it's not my words, it's God's words. And this is what his words do. All scripture, listen, not the ones we like or not the ones we think, oh, well, Jesus didn't really mean that. This is all, everybody say all. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for what? Teaching. For reproof, which is another form of the word rebuke. His word, y'all, that's what his word is for. For correction and for training in righteousness. But some of you grew up in a home that only the reproof part of this verse was lived out. This is that word that is, you know, the Bible talks about we are, you know, our hearts are wicked. Like, we are to see ourselves. Like, I didn't come to Jesus thinking that I was all that in a bag of chips. Like, I came to Jesus when I was like, oh my gosh, I am so sin sick. I'm just so filthy from my sin. So I need you to wash me with your blood. So there was this, like, you have to figure out, you have to know that we are not worthy. And that's the reproof part. But some of you grew up in a home where that's all you just were constantly felt that you were not worthy. And that God could never love you if you did this or that. And I want to say I'm sorry if you grew up in a home like that. And in Jesus' name, your home will not be like that. In Jesus' name, your home, you will not be the preacher. You will be the pastor and the preacher. This was a no, there's no, the no grace method. But listen, we got to be both. In your preaching, you must be using your staff to shepherd your babies. I looked up some of the usage of a staff that a shepherd, as we are in our homes, we are the shepherd, right? We're the pastor. So a shepherd's staff has three basic uses. The first use of the shepherd's staff is to draw the sheep together. The shepherd, during the lambing season, would use his staff, listen, to get the right baby with the right mama sheep. That staff, it's used to bring that baby lamb, listen how beautiful this is, to use that, to get that baby lamb into an intimate relationship with its mama. Engrafted, y'all. God wants to use you, pastor, to direct your babies to an intimate relationship with their father. That's what you're to be doing. You are to be pulling them gently. You're to be reproofing them. You're supposed to be correcting them to get into this relationship so that they then can be engrafted into the vine. Preacher, pastor, we get to bring our kids, to direct our kids into that intimate relationship with their father. Hashtag mom goals. 3 John 1:4, I have no greater joy, no greater joy, y'all, than to hear that my children are walking in truth. Man, that does not say no greater joy than to hear that my children are all A's. Or that they are on the academic scholarship, or that they are this amazing football stud. Y'all, that is all great, and listen, I love it. But that is not the goal. That is not the mom goal. And too many moms, it is their goal. But again, in Jesus' name, this is our goal. That as we are preaching to our kids that word, as we are pastoring them, as we're using our rod to direct them to their Savior, that we have no greater joy. There is no greater joy, y'all. When I watch my children, my girls love to lead worship, and when I watch them lead worship, oh my gosh. There's nothing. Listen, I love to see my oldest hit a ball over the fence. I love it. I am obnoxious and crazy every time. And my husband just sits there. I'm like, how can you sit there? Because he's in his mind going, well, she got out front a little bit. It could have gone a little bit farther, whatever. So I love all that. I love it. But listen, when I see them, when I hear that John William has exhibited kindness to a little girl that's kicked him, and he comes home and tells me all about it, but then his teacher tells me that he gave her one of his loci bracelets. Like, y'all. That's the joy. That is joy. Happiness is when John William, you know, makes an interception, or Sophie Kate, my sweet little Sophie Kate. She just is just so sweet, like so kind to people. And when Sydney hits a home run, like those are all great. But that's happiness. But this is joy. That my children are walking in the truth. The second common use of this staff, listen, is for inspection. An inspection of the sheep. Now listen, this is where the correction and the training part of this verse in 2 Timothy come in. This is where the work, y'all, comes in. We got to put the bonbons away. This is where the work comes in. This is where we get a little bit, oh no, here she goes. She's going to step on my toes a little bit. The shepherd will frequently inspect the lamb to examine it. He'll pick it up and look for defects, look for blemishes. How many of y'all know your babies, your sweet little babies, have blemishes and defects and mouths and hands that hit others, sometimes all the time? So we've got to be continually inspecting them, right? It's Groundhog Day every day in our house because we're correcting, we're inspecting this. Didn't we already go over this? Have I not already told you, do not hit your brother. Do not hit your sister. Do not take a toy and then hit them over the head with it. It's every day, right? Every day. Inspection every day. This takes the time. And most of us ain't got time. Listen, y'all, I did not have time the other night to deal with her, my 15-year-old's emotional breakdown. I had the time. I just didn't want to make the time. It was me time. It was my time. I had my cereal bowl and the cereal box out waiting for me. So when I got out of the shower, I was heading to my kitchen to make my cereal. Reba was waiting. And here was, I was having to inspect this heart that was broken over something that was really trivial when I finally got to the root of it. But I had to take the time. I had to inspect this sheep. Not that God isn't ultimately, he is the ultimate, he is in control, y'all. I'm never saying that when we do all this that our kids are going to be this. That Jesus is the ultimate. I hope y'all know that. He has already directed our kids. He's got the plan and the purpose. We're just helping to shape that plan and purpose. But he's in control. But we've got to exhaust every effort. We've got to use our staff, the word of God, to inspect our children. To constantly be correcting and training. Listen to Galatians 6. Verses 9 through 10. I sent this to a sweet mama last night. So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, y'all, at the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. Too many mamas are done, they're quitting. And right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. Moms, start with the people in your home. Inspect those often. Don't give up. I know it's Groundhog Day. Use your staff to inspect often, daily. And lastly, that staff was used to guide wandering sheep back to the fold. This mama is what the word, this is the reward of the word that you are planting, preaching in your homes will do. This is it. It's going to be that staff that guides them back. Listen, do you believe God's word is true? All of it, every bit of it. Do you believe that? That's a foundational question. Do you believe God's word is true? It is the infallible, inerrant word of God. If you answered yes, then you must also believe that if your kids go away from the word, that they will come back. I'm speaking to some mom out there. I just dropped it in my spirit. Thank you, Jesus. It might be listening to my podcast. There is some mom out there that has a prodigal. You need to hear. If you believe God's word is true, then you better know that God's going to bring them back. They cannot run far enough. They cannot hide in the darkest of spot that his word that you, mama, have planted in their hearts will not find them and bring them back. That is a promise. And some of you with little ones are sitting there saying, well, that's not for me. One day it could be you. This is why you plant that word over them. You pour that word over them. It will bring them back to the fold. Listen, my dad was 89 years old. 89 years old when he gave his heart to Jesus. 89. Listen, he did not have a praying mama. I know he did not. My grandmother was not a believer in Jesus. And it's very sad to me because I don't know, I do, based on scripture, know probably where she has ended up. She did not know Jesus. But listen, what my daddy did have, he had a praying wife. And then he had three praying kids. And we would speak the word over him. And at 89 years old, 2 weeks before he died and went to heaven, I was able to lead him in the prayer of salvation at 89 years old. It doesn't matter how long, how far, you keep planting the word. You keep speaking the word. God is a relentless pursuer. He is going after the lost sheep. I told you, I'm nervous, I am fearful, I am, yes, I am all that, but listen, I am confident. I am confident in this word that I am preaching in my home, that even if this word, God is going to use it as a staff, and he's going to pull them back. That's the kind of God we serve. R.C. Sproul says, God doesn't just throw a life preserver to a drowning person. Listen, he goes to the bottom of the sea and pulls a corpse from the bottom of the sea, takes him up on the bank, breathes into him the breath of life, and makes him alive. This is our God, a relentless pursuer of the lost sheep. Praise God. He goes after the lost sheep. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow about his promises. Some people understand slowness, but he is patient with you. He does not want anyone to perish. Man, this was my prayer for my dad. I kept saying, God, I know you don't want my daddy to perish, but for everyone to find room for repentance. Y'all, sometimes our kids are going to take the hard way, but if we've done our job in the truth they were taught, their faith will grow strong. If we do our part as preacher and pastor, we are going to see and hear our children, Colossians 2, 7. It will be true of our children. Do we have Colossians 2, 7, Annie? It will be true. I've got it in my Bible. This faith is going to grow strong. This faith, I'll give you the definition of faith. I've never done a definition search of faith. Then your faith will grow strong. Colossians 2:7. It's what we've been talking about. This faith, it's a belief, a trust, a loyalty to a person or a thing. Y'all, that's what this verse says. Their faith will grow strong. Our faith will grow strong. Their belief, their trust, and their loyalty to this person is going to grow strong as you and I take our role as the preacher, the pastor of our home. 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15. We know the 2 Timothy 3:16 about the scripture is God-breathed and used for teaching, but this two verses hit me like a ton of bricks this week as I was preparing for this teaching. Listen, these are the verses right above how the scripture is used for training. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood, some versions of this scripture say, from infancy, you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. From childhood, y'all, this one commentary, this is Paul speaking to Timothy, okay? And Paul was Timothy's mentor. And this reference here, a commentary says, seems particular to the fact that Timothy had learned these truths that he was taught, these sacred writings. He had learned them from the lips of his mother. Isn't that beautiful? Your children's faith is going to grow strong because the lips of your mouth are preaching and pastoring words over your babies. I think that's incredible. Timothy grew strong because of the words that came from his mother's lips. Man, but so many mama's lips are complaining. So many mama's lips are saying, I'm done, I'm over this, I'm over this. Man, can our words, can what our babies are hearing most be the word of Jesus coming out of our mouth? I want to show you a picture of a tree. Ending on this belief that our kids cannot run. They cannot outrun. They cannot hide. This foundation that you and I are building in our kids. I found this tree, and if you'll see, I want you to look at the leaves of this tree and how green it is. It's beautiful, lush. And there's even beautiful green growing out of the bottom as well. And you see, those are roots. Those are some exposed roots. Now, root systems are, the common root depth is 7 to 9 feet, and some depths can be as deep as 23. So as we talked about this in this session, there's a lot of stuff happening underneath that we can't see that affects what's on the outside. But I do want you to see there are roots. There are exposed roots. Y'all, this is our kids. I believe this is a picture of what our kids are like in this world as you and I are doing our job in this, teaching them this truth that we're teaching them. Our kids are exposed. Man, they are so exposed. They've got parts of their lives are exposed. But even though they are exposed, even though they are in this world, their trees can be lush and green and growing and thriving. Even though they are exposed. It is true of our children that although they walk and they live in this world that so many of us are scared about them living in, that if we do our job, we are rooting them deeply in Christ. That even though they are exposed, roots are exposed, they will be like a tree planted by the waters. Jeremiah 29, whose leaves are always green, who does not fear when drought comes, when the fire comes. This, mom, is a beautiful way to end this session. And we're not ending yet, but if I don't get to teach again, this is a beautiful way to end it. What we are doing to the inside of our kids is going to affect how our kids are on the outside. And the time is now. If you've never done this, if these last 7 weeks you've been sitting here going, I've never prayed for my kids. I had a mom tell me that. I never prayed out loud with my kid before until now. Just start. In the words of Nike, just do it. Just do it. You don't have to be, I don't have a seminary degree, y'all, and I'm preaching the Word of God here, and I'm preaching it in my home. You don't have to have a seminary degree to preach the Word of God in your homes. You don't have to have a diploma from a big seminary to be a pastor in your home. You don't have to have that. You just got to have a mouth. Timothy, from the words, from the lips of his mother, his faith was strong. Your babies just need you to open up your mouth. They just need you to open up your mouth and give them the word, who is Jesus. Would you just commit to open up your mouth? Just commit to open up your mouth. And from the lips of your mouth, you will plant into your babies. Let's pray. I want you to stand with me as we do every Thursday. Our prayer team is going to be back there. And listen, I don't want you to let this morning go by without some of you are, you know, that struck a nerve when I said some of you grew up in a home where it was the rod, it was there was no grace, it was simple rebuke all the time. Some of you, there could be some of you listening to me have never moved past that, and that is the reason that you can't do in your home what you want to do, because you can't get over the way you were raised. If I am speaking to you, if Jesus is pricking your heart, would you go and pray with somebody? Would you let God free you from that? And in Jesus' name, you will be different. You will change the trajectory of your home. You will not be, you will not raise your children in that kind of an environment that you were raised in. So if some of you are stuck there, would you, that please, please don't let this morning go by. Don't go to your huddle until you get that settled. Let Jesus free you from that. That's a shackle. That's a stronghold that the enemy wants to keep you locked into. Would you get free from that? Listen, and if some of you are just struggling that this these last few weeks, Lori's yet last week, and all my teachings, you're just not sure how to do it, and you feel so unequipped. Would you just go ask? Would you go pray with somebody? Would you just let somebody pray with you? Man, and just for some of you who have prodigals, would you go back? Would you let somebody agree with you? Would you just believe that God's word is gonna go find them? He's that relentless pursuer. And then if some of you are just weary, you are just tired, because this is a battle. We are in a battle. It is hard. And if we are doing our job, if we are engaged in this battle, we can get weary. And some of you are just tired. And I get it. Would you let somebody pray with you? That's what that's the beauty of this day. That's the beauty of this ministry, that there is moms that are in the same place as you, or have been or are gonna be, and they can pray with you. Would you let somebody in? That's a word for somebody. Would you stop wearing your mask? Somebody came in here today wearing a mask. And the Spirit of God is drawing you out. Would you take your mask off? Would you finally get real with somebody? It doesn't have to be me. Maybe your huddle leader. Maybe one of these prayer partners. Would you get real? Would you take off the mask of the West Cobb mamas? We don't have it all together. I don't have it all together. Look, my kids sin. I sin. I need to drink from the living water. You need to drink from the living water. Would you go let somebody give you some water today? Would you let them give you this living water? Jesus is the source. They're going to give you Jesus. Would you just drink from him for a little while? But you got to get real. There's somebody in here that has a secret they've never told somebody. And God is telling you to tell it today. I don't know who you are, but that Spirit just told me there's somebody here that has a secret they've never told, and your freedom is at stake, Mom. Your freedom is at stake today. Would you tell somebody? We're going to sit in this space for a few minutes, and then you can go to your huddles. But we're going to sit in this space for just a second. And you go, even now, if God is drawing you, if God is drawing you, go. 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 Jesus, have your way in this moment, Lord. Jesus, do your work in the hearts of these moms. God, let us get real with you for a few minutes. Let us get real with you for a few minutes, God. It's all about you. Jesus, have your way. Draw us. Draw these moms. God, draw us to yourself. You are the source of living water. God, mamas have been too long drinking from places that don't satisfy. Today, in Jesus' name, God, would we not settle for anything, any other source other than you? Let us drink from you in Jesus' name over these next few minutes. Amen.